You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Who should be involved in the hui?
First of all, I should say I think it's well overdue, and there was a hui held similarly around the year 2000, late 90s, or I think it was the year 2000. And I think when we start to talk about who's impacted by these discussions and who's involved in the impacts, those are the people that should be involved in the decision. So certainly wāhine, Mau Moko Kauai, have talked about how it impacts us at length in the last week, and so I would hope that we would be involved in it. And certainly, obviously, Kai Pā, again, can revisit this issue in the same way that they did in 2000. And I guess anybody else who feels that they have a stake in relation to this as far as it relates to whakapapa and heritage, with the understanding, the fundamental understanding, that this is a taonga Māori, that this belongs to Māori.
Where would the hui be set?
Well, I guess that there's gatherings every year of Kai Pā, and there are collectives, and I think there will probably be one coming up again this year. So I think the next one that occurs in Aotearoa may well be a good opportunity for us to revisit some of these issues.
How would the hui work in terms of different kawa?
I think into the decisions or what happens at the hui, how that might apply in relation to kawa is going to depend on the context. Really, you know, the what's at stake here and the issue here largely is around appropriation and pākehā taking stuff from us, taking stuff from Māori inappropriately. And so I think what you'll find is that when it comes to the kawa of a hapū or an iwi asking permission from their perspective for somebody to receive moko kauwai, moko konohi, I think you'll find that those instances are going to be very rare indeed. And where they come up, that can be addressed at that time and in that context. But what we're talking about here is a far larger issue, particularly as Kai Pā overseas are applying moko kauwai, moko konohi to Pākehā overseas, and how that is impacting upon Māori here. And now that we see Pākehā here also claiming a right to take moko kauwai on here in Aotearoa, and how that impacts upon us. And I think that that's a far larger issue than the more isolated instances of hapū iwi putting in a tono for a Pākehā to receive a moko kauwai. And I do trust hapū and iwi with, you know, making the appropriate decisions. I think most of them are quite aware of how that impacts us. Most of us are aware of issues of appropriation. It's still a really important discussion for us to have.
What exactly do you think the hui should address?
Ah, okay. So I think one of the things that's been said quite often this week with this discussion is that, especially in the age of the internet, it's very difficult to halt cultural appropriation. And I actually agree with that. I think it's very difficult to put a halt on it. But what we can do is that we can be clear about what is appropriation and what isn't, and whether or not something is legitimised, or whether or not we give our approval to something or we don't, is really what's going to class it as cultural theft or not. And so I think that's really what the hui should be addressing is first of all, what's driving the decisions of Kai Pā to apply moko kauwai, moko konohi on Pākehā? What are the impacts of them doing that? What is their accountability around doing that? And what constitutes cultural theft? So that's really going to be the difference between somebody wearing something that is approved by Māori, by the source of that image or that art form, or something that is not.
What would the outcomes of having a hui achieve?
So I think we would have some clarity around what is approved as an authentic moko konohi, moko kaiwai, and what constitutes cultural theft. And that's a really important issue that I believe needs to be addressed.
He kōrero anō au. Tēnā koe whā.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.